Wisely is Willie Wisely, melodic power pop singer-songwriter originally from Minneapolis who now lives in L.A. He's got a fine new album, Parador, and he was one of our recent World Cafe Next artists. I started our session out by asking him how he got started on the new album that he recorded with producer Linus of Hollywood.
Actually, my first 3 weeks there, I met up with Linus of Hollywood, the producer of Parador. It's funny how, you know, whenever you land in a new town, it's like, well, those first few people you meet always turn out to be the important ones. It's kind of crazy. So Linus suggested re-releasing some of my older albums that had older tracks that had been out of circulation for a long time because of a lawsuit to put me kind of back on the map and record a new record with me, Parador. And we got to work, and work proceeded sporadically. We had a couple false starts, but we made Parador.
So why did you make that move from Minneapolis to L.A.?
I felt that I'd done all I could in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is a fantastic music city, but if you look at what thrives there, it's bands. Bands. And I think of Dan Wilson as a songwriter from Semisonic, who is a songwriter first, and he's reached some success with the Dixie Chicks now and really done some great things, great big things. But I cannot think of another songwriter who's really hit it on the biggest level coming out of there. It's a band town. It's a Jayhawks town. It's a Soul Asylum. Moving back in time, Trip Shakespeare and Husker Du and The Replacements and Prince being the anomaly. And I just really felt kind of helplessly underfed there. And so I thought, I'll move to L.A. or New York. And I already had some family out west, so I went that direction.
What was that like, that leap from Minneapolis to L.A.? I mean, I'm not talking about the weather. It must be a different kind of artistic culture, shall we say.
Thank you for not asking about the weather, because I actually seriously in my heart and soul miss shoveling snow. it hurts to think about the weather. The move to L.A. was, it's shocking in as much as that people don't call you back. You know, wow, they really honk loud at you when you're at an intersection and you don't like actually beat the green light out of the gates, or, you know, and actually what I've found is that there's tons and tons of great people in LA, but it's, you know, just in order to pay those rents, in order to make it happen and afford a life there, you've got to be working 20 hours a day. And everybody's working, and there's not a lot of time to lollygag or be nice. And so that was what was most shocking, because in Minnesota, we're even nice when we don't want to be, you know, that latent Prairie Home Companion thing.
Exactly. So. Wisely is our guest, and there is Parador. There's kind of an alternate take on Parador, which I want to talk about in a bit. And then there is Acoustic Parador, which we're going to hear today. And what song do you want to do first?
I was thinking I would do the song Through Any Window.
Early in the morning when the sun comes through any window, breaks the promise of each day anew, early morning. Through any window, blue is the memory of a bedroom eyes, green as the envy I can't hide, red is the color that she lays so bare in early morning. Sunlight kissed me on my head of gloom in early morning, glides across the bed, then fade by noon through any window in early morning. Blue is the memory of a bedroom eyes, green as the envy I can't hide, red is the color that she lays so bare early morning. Through any window, school bus take them far from home, take the children far from home, children far from home, soon to see how sad their lives become. Through any window, and blue is the memory of a bedroom eyes, green as the envy I can't hide, red is the color that she lays so early morning. Through any window, in early morning, through any window.
Wisely is our guest on the cafe today, and that is Through Any Window. And I am secretly really, really happy you're doing these stripped down and acoustic, so people can really hear the songs underneath everything you do. Because the songs are great. The songs, you know, you got to start with a great song. But I do want to talk about this blessing, this curse that is power pop. Because you kind of sometimes have gotten lumped in that camp. And I don't think it's against, you know, it's not a bad thing. But what does it mean to you? What does it mean? Is it just sort of a melodic pop thing or?
Well, I never liked the label because to me, it power pop means that you have songs and you're going to power them up. You're going to rev them up. And it's been my experience through years of having bands that songs get ruined really quickly, ruined with volume and speed. And to me, the name sort of encourages musicians to be less delicate with their songs. I've always liked to think that I had more texture and more space in my music than all that to be lumped in. And as much as I respect many of the biggest people that make power pop, it's never been a religious affiliation that I have with them in my heart. I mean, humanity has had a really hard time topping the Beatles, and it was so hard for me to get past the Beatles. I had to go learn about jazz and become encyclopedic about jazz so that I could at least have something else, you know, that brought newness to my soul. So consequently, my record collection is all jazz. That's what I listen to for pleasure.
That's funny. And it's funny you mentioned the Beatles, and of course, not everything the Beatles did sounds like And Your Bird Can Sing, which might be a prototypical power pop sound. Mm-hmm. They've got all those other different textures in there as well, which your work does. I'm curious about Peridor, and then this kind of what I got a couple days ago was this kind of cool alternate take on it. Are you the kind of guy who's never done, or how does that?
Everyone that works with me, I wind up there's some sort of departure point where they get really angry and regret working with me. Not because I'm never done, but because I think and I rethink and I blame my mother. She always told me, like, you know, see things from everyone's point of view. Don't just think about yourself. You're so airheaded. You're so self-absorbed. You should, you know, think about other people. And so I gather opinions and from trusted people, primarily like non-musical people, just kind of people I know who have good taste, you know, whether it's my architect friend or my web designer friend, and I gather how emotionally my things impact on them, and I bring that back into the studio with me, and it infuriates everyone because everyone's like, you're capable of making a record, dude, just do it, you know. And I'm like, no, this is going to take a while. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to put something out that I have no misgivings about, and maybe one day I'll whip off something. Maybe I'll whip off a, you know, I don't know, something that sounds like Blood on the Tracks. That's sort of a fantasy of mine, to go into a studio and just do something as rough and wonderful as as a Plastic Ono Band. I will one day. But
Wisely is our guest. What do you want to do next?
I thought I'd do the first song on the record. Waiting for my entrance, blowing past the street signs, missing every other turn, still getting there on time.
staring in the loopholes, faking every shortcut, knowing that my very best is on the other line. This is everything, everyone you ever knew, everywhere you ever went, looking back at you. Tripped up on a green light, waiting there for nobody. That I left behind, standing in the way. What about the third time? Hanging in a long line, a shimmer on a shoulder blade. Won't you give me the sign? Yeah. This is everything, everyone you ever knew, everywhere you ever went, looking back at you. This is everything, everyone you ever knew, everywhere you ever went, staring back at you. Staring back at you. Staring back at you.
Indeed, the song that begins Peridor, the new album from Wisely. That's This Is Everything, an acoustic version today on the Cafe. I wanted to find out a little bit about how come you started to do acting when you got to L.A. And did that help or just distract you from music?
I was trained in acting in college when I went to Beloit College in Wisconsin, and I actually did acting all through high school and whatnot, and have a knack for it and actually love it. But it's just always been hard to take it seriously. It's hard to be a Renaissance man when so many people are focusing and making that their only thing. It's hard to keep up, you know. And I remember just trying to make music in college, I was distracted. I got a lead role in some Commedia dell'arte play, and I can't remember what it was. I was Truffaldino, and it was this big deal, and I wasn't memorizing my lines. And, you know, Commedia dell'arte, it's very, you know, you got to be in cue, and it's very physical as well. And I was just not remembering my stuff, and I kept promising everybody. And the opening night came, and I pulled the wrong envelope out of my suit, and it screwed up the whole plot of the entire play. And we did another show, which I screwed up again. They canceled the run and kicked me out of the theater department. So that's then I became an economics major. Mick Jagger was my inspiration. No, anyway, that's, I got to L.A., I'm trained in acting, I started doing bit parts. Just, I'll tell you what, acting in L.A. is baloney. You're sitting on a parking lot with 150 other extras, making $110 for 16 hours of work in the hot sun, eating M&Ms and whatever else they shovel at you, and you get 2 seconds in front of the camera, and everyone's like kind of leaning over to the left to get their face in there. It's just, it's the worst experience. Musicians are all about the peace, the love, the cooperation, the social nature of it. Actors are very competitive, and it sucked. I quit.
Commedia dell'arte to extras in Hollywood. Yeah, it's a little bit different. It's hard to even imagine that as part of the same business when you look at it that way. So it is easier to make a record, obviously, than to do that kind of thing. And knowing Linus of Hollywood, a guy who shares your production aesthetic, et cetera, mm-hmm. Was it moderately easy to get this done, or was it a burden?
No, it was difficult, and surprisingly so, because Linus and I are a mutual admiration club, and I was listening to his album in the car 2 days ago, in fact. And the but I think, after thinking about it in retrospect, and I don't think he'd be hurt at all if I said this, but he and I occupy the same place in the studio. We both lead sing, we both lead songwrite, we both are primarily guitarists, we both play a bit of bass, we both play some cursory keyboards, neither of us play drums. There was no complimentary stuff going on, so consequently we were, I wouldn't ever say butting heads or locking horns, we were just always, I don't know how to explain it.
You were in the same space.
Yeah, we were just sitting on top of ourselves, frying eggs on each other's heads, and it wasn't a perfect teamwork. And again, a mutual admiration club, but it was interesting to discover, like, where our, you know, a perfect producer-artist relationship wasn't happening right there.
You can correct me on this, but I read somewhere that you gave the graduation address at this College of Music?
Yes, McNally Smith College of Music in Minneapolis, St. Paul, yeah.
And now, you did that before you left, or they brought you back for it?
Yeah, it was actually my first thing to do on this tour. Yeah, I flew into Minneapolis to do that. That was a gas. That was wonderful.
You went there, and that's how it worked out, or how did it?
I did go to that school, a while back, a couple decades ago, if you must know.
Now, what was your advice a couple of decades on? Share it with us.
Well, okay, here's how I started out the speech. I said, well, I read recently that about some Nepalese monks who sit on hilltops, and they don't eat and they don't drink. What they do is they wake up before the sunrise and they stare into the sun, and as the cold mountain air condensates on their lips, that's all that they drink for the day. And then apparently, when you stare into the sun directly at certain moments during sunrise and sunset, you can actually get calories from that. You can actually receive calories. So they can fast and just eat on sunlight. That's all they subsist on. And now I'd like to talk about the music business. And I particularly connected with the parents that were in the audience
there. I'll bet.
And, It's true. I know the struggle, and you know, really super successful people know the struggle, and but I'm not going to sit here and complain. I've chosen to do what I love for my life, and I'm glad to be here.
Wisely is our guest, and we got time for one more. So,
I'll play one more song. This one is off of Parador as well. It's a song about the indelible mark that we leave on one another.
Don't drop by, I'll be wasted, and I'll get mean. You don't want to see that again. You carved a number in the arm of my imagination. So I was too quick to rip out a page of history. But it's a little sick the way you tore me to confetti. Weep not for me as I burn all we created. But you can't erase me. Songs and love fall on deaf ears wasted. You might think you found my replacement. These
four thin walls keep me deep in isolation. They watch me bleed while you're out walking some new best friend. I'll die laughing in the hall outside his coronation. But you can't erase me. Songs of love fall on deaf ears wasted. You might think you found my replacement,
Wisely with the song Erase Me from Parador, his album, and that album is available at our World Cafe CD store, which is at our website at worldcafe.npr.org.